Hello, everyone. Hello. Come on in. Come on in and let's get started. How's everybody doing tonight? Pop out the chat. All right. So we are mid-month, mid-January. Did y'all hear Quitter's Day was the other day? I don't even know what Quitter's Day is, but I think it's one of those days. Somebody has decided at some point that it's that one of those days where, we get all excited about our New Year's resolutions, and then come about a little bit of the way in, we decide, I don't think I want to do that. So I think this call is well placed, well timed. So if you are here and you want to get coached tonight because you're mid-month, you're messing around with, flipping around with, using the F word around with the same few pounds. Let's talk. Let's see what's going on with you. Does anybody else think it's funny that they assigned me this call tonight? I do. I think it's funny. Okay. So I have one hand raised. There will be room for at least two more other people. So if you want to get coached tonight, go ahead and raise your hand. If you want to talk in the chat, that is absolutely available to you too. Just make sure your chat box is set to everyone so that everyone can see your comments. Okay? Nobody's chatting yet tonight. That's interesting. All right. Steph. Well, hello, Sharon. Thank you for making sure the chat bot works. Chat box works. Steph, your hand is raised, so I'm going to go ahead and call you up. Let's see, here she comes.
Hi, Kathy.
Are you?
Good. How are you? Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too. What's going on?
So I was coached a few times with Lisa on this call last year around, messing around with the same 5 pounds, losing a couple pounds, gaining them, losing them. But where I'm struggling right now mentally is that I did have a regain over the holidays and a post-holiday vacation. So now I feel like, gee, not only am I messing around with the same 5 pounds, I'm messing around with the old 5 pounds. This really stinks. One of the thoughts that I had, that was positive was, well, hey, you caught it while it was still at 5 pounds. You were still aware, still engaged enough with the program where it didn't become a steam train. But I'm struggling with how to let go of 2025 and just focus on 2026. Like, stop worrying about what your low was back in November, December before the regain. Stop worrying about, well, if you were struggling messing around with the same 5 pounds last year, then that's going to be this year. Like, just focus on the here and now. I think that's what I'm really struggling with, is just letting go of the past.
Okay, so I love this. I love this because this is what we always want to do. We want to go, we're going to whitewash 2025. We're going to restart. We're going to start again, right?
Right.
What if we don't do that?
Okay.
Why would you want to whitewash 2025?
I think it's because I struggle to see the wins, and I only see what, this is a bad word to use, but I only see the failure
Yeah.
of where I ended the year. And so that creates fear. And so it's like, well, if I just stop thinking about that, then maybe I can focus on the here and now.
Okay. Beautiful answer. Beautiful answer. You know why? Because it's in the failures that we learn what we need to do in 2026.
Okay.
All right. So I am a big advocate of an honest, non-judgmental assessment because I have to know what it is that needs to be fixed in order for me to fix it. One of my favorite things to say, Steph, is we use awareness to initiate change. So to me, if we whitewash 2025, we really don't know much about what was going on there. We're not carrying any information, any assessment into 2026 along with the START program and the new content and then the emphasis to get to get rolling. We're not carrying any of that information with us, so we're working with like half a deck. See what I'm saying?
Yeah,
And
that makes sense.
what prevents us from these honest, non-judgmental assessments is usually self-talk. It's the definition of failure that we're using, right? And it because we know the definition of failure is a little off if it's generating fear, right?
Right.
Because to me, fear is kind of forward thinking, right? If you're concerned that you're going to repeat your failures, you have fear,
Right.
right?
Right. And a little bit of shame around it.
Yes. Yeah. And the shame is where the self-judgment is and the self-talk is, right?
Right.
Yeah. So if we were to, sprinkle fairy dust on you and get rid of shame and self-judgment and fear, and you were able to like clean your space of all that stuff and look back on 2025, wouldn't you be able to see, oh, you know what? I had a lot of stress I was eating over. Or I was really lonely some nights and did my nighttime eating. Or, I wonder what I could do about that, friend that ticked me off and I ate over. Do you see what I'm saying? It becomes more of a, an analytical process than, an information to carry forward to plan for than it does a, I'm just going to throw that one in the trash and start again.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And it's funny because as you're saying this, I recently was going through the Regain Reset. And that was a part of it was stripping down, what was going on, what phase of life were you in where the regain was occurring. And you're right, if I just kind of go, well, I'm going to stick my head in the sand and I'm going to forget all of 2025 and just 2026 is brand new. Then I'm not going to carry that lesson in and therefore am more likely to repeat it. So, kind of making a self-fulfilling prophecy here of, repeating a regain and then going, oh, I don't want to look at that. So,
Yeah, exactly.
yeah.
Exactly. And it works the same way whether you have a regain or not, to be honest with you, especially if you are in the cycle of maintaining that same 5 pounds, right?
Yeah.
So it really works both ways. If you're afraid to do your assessment from a non-judgmental place or you think you can't, that's when you come to one of these calls or you come to ask coaches. Because honestly, I can look at your regain and look at your maintenance of 5 pounds or whatever it is and go, okay, so I wonder what happened. I don't have any judgment, right? So if you can give that gift to
Right.
yourself, then you've just sped yourself along a little bit.
Right.
Makes a lot of sense to me.
It does. It does. Thank you. That's really very helpful because even with when I was, cycling through those same 5 pounds and I'd get on the call with Lisa, I was like, all right, I'd be invigorated for a week or two. And what I had to really get honest with myself, and I did over this regain, and I did kind of send like a confessional to ask coaches to get it off my chest, is that I would tell myself I was going back to normal, but that's not what I was doing. I was overcorrecting. I was overcorrecting for a week or two and then seeing the scale go down and be like, well, see, how to do it. And then I'd
Yeah.
start eating normally and the scale would go up and be like, oh, well, you gotta. And so I was kind of creating
Yeah, so
this
that's
cycle.
interesting. Eating, normal is also a very relative term. You define normal, right?
Right.
And so the way you just explained normal to me is the way you eat to maintain those 5 pounds,
Right.
right?
Right.
Whereas you could decide that normal is between hunger and enough
Right.
with 64 ounces of water and, a decent amount of sleep at night. That could be more of your normal, right? So when you overcorrect, tell me what that means.
Yeah,
What does
dang, Kathy, you
overcorrect mean?
just got me. You just got me. You held me to right to up to that truth. You're right. My eating normal is what keeps me in that 5 pound cycle. And I think the problem with what I call an overcorrect is not so much the food I'm eating. Like I still eat food I enjoy. It's a lot more, fruits, vegetables, a lot less, fun food. But I think I still have some of that diet mentality that kicks in. Like, well, yeah, see, of course, if you're eating, salads and fruit bowls, yeah, the weight will come off, but the minute you go back to eating this, it's not the food, it's the way I'm eating the food, and I know that, but
Yeah. So tell me about that, because I mean, I love salads and fruit bowls. So, tell me what you mean by it's not what I'm eating, it's the way I'm eating it.
I'm still calling, things good. I'm still like, okay, well, I'm eating good. Or this is the way, thin people eat, or this is the way you eat to lose weight. And then when I start indulging in like cookies or snacks or things like that, then it's like, well, yeah, of course you're not going to lose the weight because you're eating this. And it's like, no, it's not because I'm eating this. It's because I'm either eating this every single night or not at all.
Do you think you can eat cookies at dinner meal to enough and lose weight?
Like if cookies were my meal?
If they were part, let's say you planned I don't know, a salad with some nice chicken and a couple of cookies for your dinner meal tonight. Do you think you'd lose weight if you ate the cookies?
Honestly, my knee-jerk reaction is no. And
Yeah.
I know that's not true, but that's my instant thought is no.
Yeah.
That's still my
So
instant thought.
that's what I thought you were going to say, because you're right. You have a lot of food rules. We'll call it food rules. Okay. And what Corinne teaches us is that hunger, ha sorry, weight loss happens between hunger and enough. I mean that those are I mean those are my words, but that's what basically, she teaches us. That's a summary of no BS, right? Weight loss happens between hunger and enough. What if you could eat cookies if you stopped at, made them part of your dinner meal and stopped at enough and lost weight? Wouldn't that be pretty cool?
Yeah, it would.
But you don't believe you can do that.
You know what it is, Kathy? I believe it's true. Like I was just, on Instagram the other night and somebody brought up that old experiment the guy did with eating like Twinkies and losing weight. I believe it's true, but I don't believe it's true for me.
Why not?
Because I don't believe that I won't use that as like a gateway just to keep going back for more.
Okay, so that's the problem. It's
Yeah.
not having a couple of cookies after dinner. The problem is your belief that it's a gateway to more cookies,
Right.
right? Is it always?
No, and
No,
honestly,
right?
if you looked at my photo food journal, you would see I usually do try to I plan for a sweet treat every day, and I usually do have it. It depends on, kind of what it is, but I do just sort of when the scale isn't doing what I would like for it to do. That's my go-to. Well, it's because you ate this. It's because you had this.
It's not because you ate fast enough or you ate before you were hungry. I think that's your work. It sounds like you're putting all of your eggs, all of your weight loss eggs, in a good food, bad food basket rather than in a hunger and enough basket.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%.
Yeah. So why is that? Because it's easier. Because it's what
Yeah,
you know.
I think so. I think that it's thoughts that I just haven't gotten good at questioning, and I think you've just given me a really good way to do it and just to kind of ping pong that, like, oh, well, what did you expect? You had a bakery muffin, and be like, well, was it the muffin, or was it because you ate it fast enough, or you ate it when you weren't hungry? And like, I think you've just given me a way to ping pong it, and then also to look at, weeks where, I'm not having as many sweets and things like that, and not think of them as, restrictive or overcorrects, but thinking of them as, the way to eat where I'm not stuck in maintenance, where I'm actually making some progress to goal. And so, yeah, I think you've held up a really nice mirror for me.
Well, good. So I'm just going to tell the call that I still don't have any other hands raised, so I'm going to keep going here. Okay? So Steph, you're on the, you're still on it 'cause I have more questions for you. So if
I'm just
anybody else
gonna
wants to be coached, please raise that hand. Otherwise, it's all Steph. All right.
All right,
So what
I'm
are
just gonna warn you that I do have a hard stop at 6:30 because that's when five high school girls are gonna hop back in the
Nice.
minivan.
Nice. Well, we still have plenty of time for my question. What do hunger and enough feel like to you?
I feel like I'm good with enough because I will notice myself really losing interest. So, like, for example, the other night, I had planned a soup and a salad for dinner. And I had just about finished my salad and I had a couple of bites of soup and I was like, oh, I just don't want this. And then I stopped and I thought, like, do you not want this because you physically had enough or because you're just not in the mood for soup? And I'm like, no, I really think I had enough. And I'll confess here the same way I did in my accountability group. It was still like pretty piping hot. So I brought it down to my husband. I was like, look, I made you soup. I got those brownie points. So I feel like, but maybe that like feeling of losing interest and then checking in, maybe that's actually a couple of bites past enough.
It could
Maybe
be.
it's, yeah.
How good are you at stopping when you start to lose interest? Or do you talk, or are you like, I'm just gonna be honest, you like me and go, oh yeah, I'm losing interest, but a couple more bites will be okay.
Well, it depends on what it is. The soup was pretty easy to give up. But last night, I went out to dinner with a friend and I had a burger and fries, and I definitely, had a couple fries past enough. Like I,
Yeah, you could tell.
yeah. Oh yeah, I could tell. I'm like, oh, I'm starting to feel full. And like I even had pushed like the plate away. I had finished my burger and maybe had like a quarter of the fries, and even at that, I just kind of the waitress hadn't taken it yet. So I'm like, oh, a couple more. It's like you don't want the party to end, right? Soup isn't as
So
much of a party.
talking about that, talking about your French fries, do you feel shame or failure? Or is it like, huh, well, that's interesting now that I'm thinking about enough.
I do feel. A little bit of, I guess, maybe like disappointment that experience is so enjoyable that even though I know that I've had enough and I know like there's no national French fry shortage, like I can have them again anytime I want,
I love that.
that I said to my accountability group, like sometimes I feel like I'm grabbing the penny in the moment, even though I know that means giving up $100 down the road. And that's
That's
how I
pretty
feel
amazing.
about those French fries after the fact. Like, I know all of those little French fries over time could add up to an, at the end of the year, to a couple more pounds gone.
So let's use that disappointment as fuel to think about it next time you have French fries. Okay? So this is where we get to use disappointment as a positive thing, as a kind of a an assessment tool. All right? So the next time you go and have burger and fries, you can think, you know what? There's no French national French fry shortage. I'm going to eat these two enough. And then I'm going to see how that feels so I can see if I can feel something other than disappointment. Okay? And this is how we use past 2025 eating to inform 2026, right? This is, and you start to rewrite that story like she talks about in the regain reset, reset regain, I can't, whatever it's called. Right? This is how you begin to rewrite that story. It used to be disappointment. Now it's curious. I wonder how that would feel if I stopped it enough. I bet y'all feel a little uncomfortable. Okay, but is that worth it? Is that discomfort worth walking out of there going, look at me. I stopped eating French fries at enough. See?
Yeah.
It becomes a different type of experience when you can assess it and then try it again from a different frame of mind, as long as you're not going, well, you know, I just can't eat French fries, because I, shame, judgment, whatever. I think that's your work. Your work is to look at things with more open mind so that you can take that information and move it forward. And it's to focus more on hunger and enough and less on good food, bad food. Okay, in
Yeah.
order to break your stall, right?
Yeah, I think you're right. I do need to do that, and I think I need to somehow recognize that, this good food, bad food, labeling, it hasn't gotten me anywhere. It hasn't gotten me anywhere I want to go. And it's just sort of a way of, punishing myself in the moment. Well, see, you were bad. See, you were bad.
And it just rebounds on you when you do that,
Yeah. Yeah.
right? That's what a restrict cycle does to you. You restrict it, restrict it, restrict it. Then you're like, well, forget this. I'm all in now. I'm just going to eat whatever I want.
Right. And I feel like that's what I've been doing, like no like since November. Like, okay, well, I've got these weeks where I'm going to be really, really good because I've got this stuff coming up where I'm not going to be, and it's just like, I my thing that I'd always say to Lisa when I'd get on these calls, because I'd get so irritated, I'd be like, well, I'll be damned if I'm not going to lose weight this month. So then I just get like, okay, well, I'll do whatever it takes, so that way by the end of the month it's at least down a pound or something. But I can't keep doing that. It's not getting me anywhere.
So what is your emphatic statement? If it's not going to be, I'll be damned if I'm gonna not going to lose weight this month. What's it going to be for this next month? What are you going to report back to Lisa?
Oh my gosh. I'll be damned if I blame the food instead of hunger, and instead of not honoring hunger and enough.
I love it. I love it. So you'll have to let me know
I
what you
will.
think.
I will write
Okay.
into Ask Coaches. I will
Write
let you
to Ask
know.
Coaches and let me know, because I think this is really good work for you. This is
Yeah, this has been.
changing your story.
Yeah, it really is. Thank you so much, Kathy.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Enjoy all those. You know what? It's always fun to pick up high school students. They chatter. All you gotta do is be quiet. You learn all kinds of stuff when those girls talk, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. If they forget you're there, all of the tea gets spilled.
Yep, that's
Yeah.
right. All right, Steph, take
Bye
care. All
bye.
right, see ya. Okay, somebody said the cookies example is tough for me. I don't do cookies if I want to lose. That's my one snack I don't usually do because it's like 200 calories. plus for one or two small cookies, super calorie dense. If my enough was like 6 to 8, no thank you. I'd rather have toast, cake, or ice cream, or even a little Debbie and to indulge my sweet tooth. You know what, Elizabeth? That's fine. It's totally up to you. I'm a cookie girl. Okay, so I might not have cookies every night, but I might plan them and love every bite of them a couple of times a week. Okay, and that's sort of what you're saying is that I'm not going to do cookies, but I'm going to do a little Debbie, and that's okay. I think it's really important for us to, this is why Corinne did the candy challenge in October, y'all. It's important for us to get past that good food, bad food mentality. Because if we call something a bad food and we restrict it, just like I just said, we're going to come back and just eat it in abundance when we take our foot off the gas or when we get tired at night and don't have any willpower left. Okay? That's what I got to say about that. All right. Patty, you're next. Let's make sure Patty's coming. All right, here she comes. Darlene's at goal and eats cookies. Now, I'm going to be honest. I'm going to eat cookies that are that pass my velvet rope. They're special cookies. I'm not going to eat Oreos, Chips Ahoy, probably not. But you give me a bakery cookie or a good shortbread cookie or something, I'm probably going to plan that. It's not going to be just any jackass cookie. Hi, Patty.
Hi.
How are you?
My husband just walked in the door and my puppy just woke up from a nap.
So sweet. Puppy's
Yeah,
getting some love.
this was part of my more joy in January.
Nice.
So, first of all, yay. I don't think I've ever actually been coached by you, and so I couldn't pass an easy opportunity.
Well,
And
there
I
you go.
need coaching, so there's
All
that.
right. What are we doing?
Well, so I've been in OBS for probably since 2018, 19. I've been here a minute,
Okay.
right? And I have come a long way. I always labeled myself as being a terrible sugar addict. And now I like sugar, but I can take it or leave it, which I never thought I would get to. I made these incredible cookies last night for a little dinner party, and they're just sitting on my countertop. I went to eat, I started to like bite into them this afternoon, and then I was like, eh, no. We're not doing that. Not today. We had some yesterday. It was good. All that to say, I lost 8 pounds over the holidays.
Congratulations.
I know. And I'm super happy about that because it was not easy. But I took on the challenge. And I'm beginning to wonder, so I'm right about 175 now. I feel like for the last 5 years, it's been I'll gain weight, I'll go into the 80s, and I'll get back down to 175. And I hate to say this word because I think it would probably send Corinne into a tailspin, but I was listening to Oprah yesterday talk about her set point.
Okay.
That point where you just keep going back to and can't seem to get beyond it.
Okay.
And that has been my experience, whatever you call it, the idea of a set point actually, and I've heard of it before. I just didn't pay too much attention to it because I didn't want to give myself an easy out. But right about 175, I start to disengage more with no BS. That's part of why I thought doing this call and having a conversation with you would be so valuable. I start to disengage. I don't forget necessarily. I just, maybe I stop journaling or I stop planning. Eating to enough and sort of holding that as my go-to is what keeps me largely from going back into the 180s, but it's not enough to get me to 165. Like there's 20 pounds. I just want to lose 20 pounds. There you go. I
So
want
let
to
me
lose
ask you
20
this.
pounds.
Do you think Patty at 175 eats the same amount of food as Patty at 165 and 155?
No, I think I need to eat a bit less.
I think what you need to do is recalibrate.
Okay.
All right. So this idea of a set point, so I'm going to redefine set point for you. I
Sure.
would call it maintenance.
Okay.
Here's why. Because if you're stuck, using air quotes, at 175, it's because you are eating to maintain 175. Your lifestyle, eating, activity, sleep,
Right.
water, all of those little pieces
Right.
are doing a great job at helping you maintain 175.
Right.
Okay? If you want 165,
Yep.
that lifestyle probably looks a little bit different. It
Okay.
could be a little less food. It could be you actually don't need that snack, assuming you have a snack. It
I
could
do.
be, It could be a quality of food. Maybe you're not eating, I don't know, you're eating cookies 7 times a week, and it might be a 4 time a week thing when you're at 165.
I actually eat amazing food. I eat best food most of the time.
Okay, so it's not a quality of food issue for you.
It is
It
1,000% not a
could,
quality.
okay. It, but I say that because it is for a lot of us.
Right.
Okay.
And I've gotten myself to the point where I actually really crave and enjoy the quality food
Okay.
and have given up readily, so much of the other food that I feel makes my body feel bad. Like I said, the sugar was, I always thought if I got sugar down to an easily consumable bit of food and I didn't obsess over it, that that would be my ticket to getting down to 165. And then I thought it was cheese and crackers. I went through this whole thing with Corinne about cheese and crackers, right? That I was obsessed with it. And every single day I had to eat cheese and crackers. And then she forced me against my will to plan cheese and crackers every
Forced me against my will, because Corinne can do that from the other side of a Zoom call.
She did. She well, I was doing that other program with her, and
Oh,
she
okay.
did. She literally she forced me against my will to eat cheese and crackers every
So,
single day. And that made that better.
what do you think about recalibrating hunger and enough? What's that bring
Hunger,
up for you?
recalibrating hunger is, I think I'm great about eating to enough. I'm super tuned in. And I'm going to say
Are you super?
75% of the time, I actually really listen to it.
Oh,
75%.
75% of the time. That's 3 out of 4. That means 1 out of every 4 meals, right? Which
Yep.
is 21 to 5 times a week, you're eating past enough.
Well, I'm
That's what's
glad one
holding.
of us can do math.
Hey, I didn't even have my 10 key. What if that, in combination with your hunger, is what's actually keeping you at 175?
that is absolutely it. There's no question that's it.
Okay. So there is no set point. There is eating to maintenance. There's lifestyle to maintenance. I'll say it that way, lifestyle to maintenance. So if you want to continue to, eat whenever you want, and 1 out of 4 meals eat past enough, you're cooking at 175. You got that nailed.
I do. I do. I was telling a no BS friend that I wanted to stop snacking in the middle of the day. And she was challenging me on that. She's like, "Why? Why do you want to stop snacking in the middle of the day if you're hungry?" And I'm like, "Well, because I feel like I need to allow myself to feel like an empty stomach is not an emergency. Like it's okay to be hungry between meals. I don't want to be that person that feels like they have to have a snack every day because their stomach is empty." And I'm kind of struggling with that a little bit, I think.
So
So there's, I definitely need some coaching around that. I don't know what the right thing
is
to do.
your this is kind of a loaded question. Your stomach is empty at 2 a.m. Your stomach is empty at 3 a.m. Your stomach is empty at 5 a.m.
Hopefully I'm asleep.
But you're not hungry.
I
Do
don't
you
know.
think every time your stomach is empty, you're hungry? Or do you think you're hungry when your body is ready for food?
Well, if you classify hunger as like true hunger as you get a little shaky, you feel a little blood sugary, your body's definitely sending up signals that it needs nutrition, that is definitely hunger.
That's not what I said.
Okay.
I said empty stomach. What's wrong with having what's so
Right.
empty, like I said, empty stomach. You haven't, do you eat the moment you get up in the morning?
No.
Okay. Are you hungry the moment you get up in the morning?
No. I do eat breakfast because my husband eats breakfast every morning and he makes me
Oh.
breakfast. So I eat breakfast
Oh,
in
so
the
you eat according
morning.
to his hunger.
Kinda. Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of used to it now, so I eat breakfast as a matter of routine. I might wait an extra 30 minutes before I ate breakfast, but it's just
You're
part of my
justifying
schedule.
your breakfast eating.
Am I?
Yeah.
I didn't
Think
know
about
it really
it.
mattered whether I ate it 30 minutes later or 30 minutes earlier.
Maybe it doesn't, but
I'm
you don't
still
know
eating
because you haven't
breakfast.
tried it and you're maintaining your weight. I'm kind of punching holes in your
Okay.
hunger here, right? That's all I'm trying to do. We get up in the there are some of us that get up in the morning and we're not hungry till 10 or 11 o'clock,
Right.
but we have an empty stomach. So I
And
just want
I can have an empty stomach at night, by the way, because
Yes.
one of the things that I quit doing was night eating.
So you're busting holes in your own snack, empty stomach.
But for some reason, an empty stomach between 3 o'clock and 7 o'clock is like red zone danger.
Ah, see, that's the coaching right there. Okay.
Ah.
So why is between 3 and 6 red zone danger when first thing in the morning and nighttime eating is not,
Yeah.
right? That's
I think it's
that.
habit. I think it's habit going all the way back to when I was a child and coming home from school and being so frustrated that that was the only way I had to process my emotions.
So how are you going to work on that habit? Because you don't have that issue now. How are you going to work on that habit?
I think I don't know.
I think I don't know.
I've been trying to do this for so long, Kathy. I used to call it the witching hour, but it's not. It's just between 2 and 6 o'clock. It's a 4 hour window in the middle of the day that feels urgent, like I have to eat something. And I don't want to. I really don't want to be the person that eats between 2 and 4 o'clock. I want to be the person that has a lovely lunch that stops at enough, which I do, no problem. and then gets hungry before dinner, but eats dinner and doesn't snack. Just like I don't eat food after dinner. Just like I've learned to have cookies on my countertop in a clear glass bowl, and I don't get bothered by them. I mean, I notice them and I definitely have a conversation in my head a little bit, but it's not like that big a deal. But boy, that 2 to 4, that 2 to 6 o'clock window is what gets me.
What do you eat between 2 and 6 o'clock?
Well, today I ate an orange and an ounce of peanuts. So that
Oh,
was
man,
good.
you even measured your peanuts.
Well, I know what a serving of peanuts looks like in my hands.
So,
Yeah.
okay.
So that's what I had
So, were you
today.
hungry? Were you hungry?
I thought so, but not really. It's just so weird because I don't feel like I'm any more or less hungry at 8:30 or 9 o'clock at night when I'm sitting down and watching TV with my husband.
All right. So tomorrow, when 2 o'clock comes along, or 3 o'clock, or whatever time it might be,
Right.
and your brain lights up with, oh, snack time,
Well,
what are you going to do?
isn't that the question? Number one, my question to that is, do you think learning not to be the person that snacks between 2 and 6 o'clock is setting myself up for failure?
I can't
Or,
answer that because I don't know if you're hungry or not.
like I said, I'm no hungrier then than I am at night when I choose not to eat.
Okay. So
So
why
I don't even
so
think it's a matter of hunger. I think it's a path in my brain that just won't go. I haven't trained it to go in another direction, and it thinks it's the answer to anything and everything between 2 and 6 o'clock in the afternoon. Just like when I was a kid, it's the same damn feeling.
So here's what I would do. Okay. Because I think you've pretty well talked yourself into the fact that you might not need that snack.
Oh, I don't need that snack.
I would experiment. I would get really curious and I would use pause plus permission. Do you know that concept?
No.
Pause plus permission is this. When you feel the urge, you tell yourself, I feel the urge. I'm going to wait a few minutes. And in the
Yep.
meantime, while I'm waiting a few minutes, before I just go ahead and eat, I'm going to interrupt this pattern. I'm going to do something else. I'm going to
Okay.
take a walk. I'm going to pull out my crochet needles. I'm going to, go jump on my rebounder, whatever. I'm going to pet the dog, whatever it is. Okay. And at the end of that, however long I decide, 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever time period you choose, I can eat. If I'm hungry, but if I'm not, then I'm going to try something else. So you're not restricting, you're just delaying the eating and trying something else to see if you are truly hungry and to see if something else fills that need for you.
But even if I am hungry, right? Even if there's nothing in my stomach and my stomach is a little growly, I still don't want to be that person that has the snack in the afternoon.
Why? If your body needs food, why wouldn't you give it
Well,
a decent snack? Empty stomach doesn't
because I
mean
don't think
hungry.
I exercise. I don't think I move enough. I don't think it warrants. I don't think my body actually needs those
Okay.
calories. I think it's habit. Any more than when my stomach growls at 9 o'clock at night.
But you're telling me two different things here.
Okay.
You're telling me it's habit and you're telling me you're hungry. I think you've got to decide which it is at what point.
Well, it feels like hunger.
Some days it might be hunger, some
Right.
days it might be habit. Anybody here eat a snack when they need it and not every day? Raise your hand or give a thumbs up. That's me. Sometimes I eat a snack, but most times I don't. I eat one. Let me finish.
Yeah.
I eat one when I'm hungry. If, like it's 5:46. I know when Ken comes home from yoga, when this call's over, he's going to fix dinner. He's going to fix me a scrambled egg sandwich. I'm hungry right now, but I'm not going, "Hold on a minute, Patty. I'm hungry. I'm going to go eat a snack."
Right.
Right? But if it was 3:30 and I was this hungry and I knew dinner wasn't going to be until 6:15, guess who'd be going downstairs to get a snack? Okay? And it's not just empty stomach. I can feel the juices gnawing. All right, I'm not frantic hungry, but I'm hungry. I'm ready to eat. So
I don't think my hunger's that
I think for
demanding.
you, it
Yeah.
becomes an evaluation that you need to make using
Right.
pause plus permission. And you need to give yourself the gift of a snack if you're hungry, but you need to recognize when you're not hungry and say, "I don't need to eat right now. I'm going to wait for dinner."
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be an eating by the clock situation, kind of like breakfast. Breakfast shouldn't be eating by the clock either, but we're talking about snacks. What it needs to be is my body needs this, so I'm going to give it to it. When you trust your body signals, you're not going to go wrong. If you're eating by the clock, even if it's best foods and you're not paying attention to hunger, you're not trusting your body to give it what it needs.
I think even if it is a little bit of hunger, I think I still don't need to eat. I feel like at my age, with my activity level, I need to allow myself to be comfortable feeling a little bit of hunger and letting it pass, because it almost always does, right?
And I think that's a choice you get to make. What I don't want is you to let it go too far and you eat your way through the kitchen. Okay? There's a difference between feeling a whisper of hunger, watching hunger come and go, and all that, and getting so hungry your blood sugar drops and you become frantic hungry. That's a big
Right.
difference.
I get that.
Okay? So if you want to play with hunger, if you want to feel it and wait and watch it ebb and flow, I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Right.
But I also don't want you to override with your head. I'm at my age and my activity level, I shouldn't be hungry. If your body's actually hungry, you should feed it.
Well,
Okay.
it's not that I feel like I shouldn't be hungry. I feel like my body doesn't need that nutrition. It gets ample nutrition. It doesn't need more nutrition in the middle of the day when I'm going to have a perfectly lovely dinner in a few hours. It just doesn't need it. I just.
Okay, I'm not going to argue with you about it, but
Okay.
you're talking in circles a little bit.
I
Want
am.
you to come back. Yeah, I want you to come back and listen to this call and listen to what I told you about hunger and enough. And I want you to trust your body over what your body needs over what your brain says. Okay? Now, if you want, and I've said, if you want to play with hunger and watch it ebb and flow, that's fine. But I also want you giving your body the nourishment it needs.
Okay.
Okay. And you've decided your best foods are the nourishment it needs, which is fine. But the quantity of nourishment is also important. So I don't want you restricting hunger-wise because you don't think your body needs more food. If your body is telling you it needs more food. Conversely, I don't want you in there going, "It's time for a snack. I'll have an orange and some peanuts," if you're not hungry. It's all about finding that sweet spot and giving your body what it needs and not overriding that. Got it?
I'll have to think about that. Yep, I
All
got
right.
it.
If you're confused about it at all, you come see me and ask coaches, okay?
Okay, I will.
All right.
Thank you, Kathy.
Okay, see ya.
See you.
Okay. I'm gonna get this Q&A real quick. Jennifer says, "I can't seem to stop it enough with good foods. Too many diet trauma thoughts. How can I get over that? I tried toffee at Christmas and did well for a few days, having some each day. After a few days of that, I ate the rest in one sitting. I was so disappointed. I want to know what the thought is, Jennifer. What's the diet trauma thought? Okay, you can either put it in the Q&A or put it in the chat. I want to know what the thought is, because it will be easier since we can't, since you don't want to talk back and forth. That food is bad. Oh, interesting. We're back to good and bad foods. Did you catch anything from the good and bad foods from the first conversation? Because food isn't bad, right? Food isn't good either. Food is just food. And I keep looking around the Q&A, that's funny. We're given taste buds. So why can't we enjoy our food? And if we believe that, I don't know, I can't remember. I wish I could remember who this was. Well, I probably didn't know who it was. I was working with someone in Ask Coaches about stopping it enough. And her magic thought, her new go-to thought about stopping it enough is very similar to what Steph said. She said, nothing's gone forever. So these toffees that you had, they would last as long as you wanted them to last, and they're not gone forever, even if they're not back until next Christmas. I had chocolate covered cherries are my thing. And let me tell y'all, I eat one chocolate covered cherry and my brain lights up like it is the 4th of July. It's like, oh my gosh, these are so good. We have to eat them all. I don't have a reaction to food like I do to chocolate covered cherries. It's crazy. I can stick my I could eat an entire box at a time. So I have to be really careful and anticipate I'm going to react that way to it and tell myself, I'm going to have one and then I'm going to go do something else. Or I'm going to plan two and then I'm going to go do something else. And then when they're gone, thank goodness I'll enjoy them again next Christmas. So when it comes to good and bad foods, I think it's more like we need to talk about foods that we have a visceral reaction to versus foods that we don't. Okay. So if you have a food that is binge worthy to you, like chocolate covered cherries are to me, then you plan for that. You anticipate the reaction in your body and you kind of try and decondition that reaction, that trigger in your body. Okay. Does that help, Jennifer? Give me a thumbs up or a yes or a no, or I need more or something like that. Okay, good. Awesome. Okay, Annette, let's see what you got. Thank you for waiting. Well, hello, my
Hello.
friend. How are you?
I'm good.
Yeah. How's that? How didn't you break some bones a few months ago? It fell off a counter or something, didn't you?
No, I did not break any bones. That's
Oh,
the word. I had a
okay.
doctor tell me if I ever fell, I'd break, but he was wrong.
Okay. Well, you're feeling better.
I'm much better. I'm
Excellent.
all cured.
Okay.
Not from the falling, but from the breaking. My thing is, I have this thought that I have to be between 100 and 125 pounds,
Okay.
which means that I have to lose 15 pounds
Okay. Why do you have to be between 100 and 125 pounds?
because I told myself. And I have been telling myself for several years that I'm going to be 120 pounds.
Okay.
And
Why does it matter?
Annette always does what she says she's going to do.
Okay. Does she ever change her mind?
Not when she usually says that she's going to do it, she's going to do it. I was the one that when I ran, back before I had to have my knees replaced because I ran out of them, that if I started
a quarter mile on a track, I would finish it. I don't care if I fell in the hole and tore my cartilage halfway through, I would finish running the
Okay.
rest of it because I finish what I start, I do what I say.
Okay, do you realize that's a choice? Not a
Yeah.
dictate. Not a dictate. It's a choice.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So that means you have to lose 15 pounds. If you're going to do what you say you're going to do, you have to
Yeah.
lose 15 pounds. Okay.
Yes. Is there any exercise you can do to break that cycle in your mind, other than deciding you're going to do things, not do them, and see what happens? I had a psychiatrist tell me after he told me I was crazy, which I don't think they're supposed to say that. That's what I told him. But he told me to start running and stop and see what happened.
So, I want to ask you, what's wrong with being 140 pounds? How do you feel? No, let me ask this. I have a better question. How do you feel at 140 pounds? You feel, how does fat feel?
It feels like my pants don't fit the way I want them to. I want things to just kind of.
But how does your body feel? Not how does it look, not how does your clothes feel. How does your body feel? How does your energy feel?
Oh, I'm always tired. I was
Okay.
never tired, had a relapse.
Okay. How does your body feel?
Tired.
Okay. Do you think losing 15 pounds would improve that?
Back when I was that weight, I was full of energy, but
How old were you?
I was 20.
Girl.
Okay, so I'm 68.
Okay.
You see, I
Do you think losing 15 pounds would increase the amount of energy you have at 68?
I'm hoping that it would because I need to get more energy.
Okay. So if let's say that that's the goal then. I want to lose 15 pounds. Because I want to see if that gives me more energy. So we're not going to make it a guarantee. We're just going to see if that makes you feel better in your body. Okay. Are you
Yes.
willing to do what it's going to take to lose 15 pounds?
Yes.
What is it going to take?
It takes, I've been listening.
You've been taking notes.
I'm also the student. That's what she's told to do to get to where she needs to go. Change the quality of the food I eat.
Could be. Could it might be
Because.
that you need to level up the quality of food you eat. What else?
And I do eat snacks, and some of this is because of the stupid blood sugar thing that I have going on, because my blood sugar goes down and then I have to eat. And it
Okay.
just
Well, that's okay. That's okay. That's your body needing food.
makes me so mad though, because if I have to eat those
How
snacks.
helpful is it to be mad at your blood sugar? Next.
She's so bossy, everyone. I'm telling you.
Told
Anyway,
I was
whoever's listening to me, anyway, because she's not. I have to change the quality of the foods I eat. I need to stop that, and I pretty well stopped that 3 o'clock thing because the lady that has that problem, I can set my watch on the 3 o'clock when I start urging. I look at the clock. I said, I don't even have to look. I know it's 3 o'clock. It always is. I laugh. I start doing something else because I know that it's just me being me. It's that nighttime thing that I thought I had gotten past, and then mom passed away.
Okay, so we've got nighttime eating
Yeah.
and potential level up, a little good to better and better to best foods.
It's
Okay.
going to be a big level up
All
because
right. A big level up. Okay. Or some level up. So if we are you willing to do those things? Are you willing to work on those things to get that 15 pounds?
Yes, I bought one of those things that you can all year stuff, and it seals the jars. So you put lettuce and all of your vegetables and cheese so that it doesn't go bad within a day. So we got those. We've got all these cans, and I've got everything made for salads now. So I can start eating my vegetables like my mom would be so proud.
Your mom would be so proud.
She would be
So
so
what's the problem? If you're willing, if you know what you need to do and you're willing to do it, what keeps you from doing it?
And then there's a part of me that's like, are you going to look like a skeleton? Because see, I have this turkey neck going on here. And it's like,
Annette, what was my question?
what's stopping me from doing it?
Yeah, if you know what to do and you're willing to do it, why aren't you doing it?
Well, my blood sugar stops me from doing it.
No.
Yeah.
Night, your blood sugar stops you from eating at night? Stops you from stopping nighttime eating?
Well, the last 3 nights, I've been using this Start 24-hour planner. I've been actually saying, I ate a bagel thin with peanut butter and it was 22 grams, and Lean Cuisine mac and cheese, 35 grams. And I put too much insulin because my blood sugar dropped, at which time I ate graham crackers, three of them. For 15 grams, it was too much again, and then it went down. So I've been tracking this,
So,
and it's like I just fight this constantly, and sometimes I kind of just give up.
yeah, it's the fight constantly and give up that's the issue. If you ate, if you decrease the amount of sugar you ate, drop the insulin spikes, would you wouldn't need the graham crackers at night, right?
Well, if I drop the sh drop that, then in the middle of the night it bottoms out.
Okay.
Then I have to get up in the middle of the
All
night.
right, so let me ask you this. Is it possible with your insulin issues, with your blood sugar, is it possible to weigh 125 pounds?
Well, it has to. I actually was at 125 at one point.
You when you were 20?
No, like a year and a half ago.
Okay. So what did that look like? Why aren't you doing that?
For a nanosecond.
Why aren't you so okay? Let's say 130. If you know what it takes to be 130 with blood sugar, why aren't you doing that?
I'm trying. It's
Okay.
just that nighttime eating came back.
Okay.
And I know I need to get rid of it.
Okay.
And the last time I got rid of it, I lost 5 pounds.
Okay.
And yeah.
So how are you gonna handle that, Annette? The nighttime eating just didn't come back. You chose to eat at night, right? You're not the, the victim of the nighttime eating. You're choosing it. So what are you gonna choose now?
Yeah,
How are you gonna choose to manage it?
and I knew, and I had this mini binge 2 nights ago, and I hate to say I was eating stale Cocoa Puffs.
Why? Why?
It's
What
just like
triggered the binge in it?
I started with, I think I'm hungry. I'm pretty sure I'm hungry. And I just started searching for something to fill that I think I'm hungry. And it started because I had a salad for supper, and it's like, oh, I didn't eat very much.
Okay.
And so now I'm hungry.
So there's the difference, all right? Because when at 3 o'clock, when you say, I think I'm hungry, you're like, no, I'm not hungry. All right. But at nighttime, after eating a salad, you say, I think I'm hungry. And then you follow it with, but I don't think I had enough to eat at dinner.
Yes.
Okay. So there's the justification thought that you need to watch for. Okay. What I want you doing is managing nighttime eating like you manage 3 p.m. eating. Evaluate blood sugar for sure, right? But think about, I'm not a person who eats at 3 o'clock anymore, even though I get an urge. What if you decide you're not a person who does nighttime eating anymore? If you get an urge, just for an urge. And see if that doesn't help you a little bit. Use that mindset you've got going at 3 o'clock at nighttime.
Last night, I went and I heard on the news somewhere that walnuts were really good as far as just a minute. My entire family has influenza A. Anyway, that walnuts made you healthy. Anyway. So I had this very small hand of walnuts, ate those, and then I went to my chair and I put my blanket on. This is because of you, Kathy.
I have a
Put
blanket
this
right now,
blanket
and
on.
I have a blanket
Put
right
this blanket on and wrap my hands in it
now.
because my hands are always cold. And suddenly that urge went away.
That's what you need to do at night.
So I think that eating is a little bit from the mom and dad thing of, they always had you eat, blah, 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 for that. Still looking for that, those hugs and stuff that aren't there anymore. That now I need to just have that soft blanket and have that be my hug instead of the nuts, the food, because the food's not doing it, because I'm just searching.
Right.
Stale Cocoa Puffs don't do
That's
it.
well, and that's how you know. If you continue to search in the food pantry, you're not meeting your unmet need. And if your unmet need is the warmth and the hug, especially this time of year when it's dark and cold, we want that warmth. We want that blanket, right? To wrap our hands in and to throw over our legs.
You know,
I think you're onto something there.
I think I know how to get past the nighttime, but I don't know. It's just that 120. It's just like I got to do that. I just have this push that I have got to do that. And maybe I do it and it's there for a nanosecond, and then I've done it, and then.
I would love for you to give yourself the gift of trying and evaluating as you go down. Is this what I want? Is this really what I really want? Because it's okay to change your mind, especially if you decide you want something different. Because maybe you want 128 or 130, or maybe you want 125. I think it's where your body feels its best and how and whether or not your lifestyle can support it.
I think some of it's like, I want that because I really do want to start eating better. And this is one of those things, well, if you really want this, eating better is a way to do it. And that maybe it's a way for me to push us, me and my husband both, to just eat better.
It's worth a try.
Instead of just saying, well, you could be healthier by eating better. Well, apparently that is it something I hold on to? So I'll try that.
Okay,
Maybe
sounds good.
that'll do it. That and my blankie.
Your blankie. That's
Go
right.
back to my younger days and hold my blankie.
Yeah, hold your blankie. Take good care of yourself, okay? No more
will.
cooking on the counters.
Oh, I
All right.
Thanks, Kathy.
See ya. All right, everybody. That is it for tonight. As always, if you need anything, hit us up and ask coaches. Come find us. Yeah, I love the blanket, y'all. I'm a blanket person. I get so cold. I just, and it's not even, I mean, it's not even that cold in Tennessee, right? But anyway, I get cold. All right. Have a good evening. Take good care of yourselves. Trust your bodies, okay? Trust your bodies to know what they need and listen to them. All right. Take care. Bye.